Okay, let's start again. I'll try to show you some of this now in how do we do this hypothesis testing, and how do we read tables, how do we see this significance levels, and what are the typical way to organize data to do statistical analysis on the data. And to do that, I'm going to show you a little data set that I have access to. It's slightly altered, but it's actually based on true data. This is a study. It is in the area of psychology, so it may not be something that will be very close to what you will do. But still, it's a typical type of study where data have different qualities, where we have a huge number of data. It's based on questionnaires. And in this case, it is Norwegian soldiers that have been in operations abroad the last, I think, 5 years or something like that, a few years back. These soldiers, and I think there is about 2,000 here that has responded to this questionnaire, they got different types of questions. Questions that had to do with how they experienced what type of experiences they've had. They have a group of questions that has to do with, you could say, stress symptoms afterwards, symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorders, if you take it to the extreme. And that is typically these after effects people get when they have been in very stressful situations. And we also have different types of observations then. Some of them can be said to be independent variables, some are dependent variables, and some can be both in different constellations. What I'm using here is a statistical package called SPSS, which is a pretty common statistical package. There are a lot of alternatives, but most of them tend to organize data the same way as SPSS does. Dialogues, menus, choices may be very different, but it's very often based on the same, at least, data structure, and this is something that you will also try to do when you in project groups are going to gather data. I want you to organize data in the same way as we've done here. And you can say that what we have here is that each line here represents one questionnaire, one person's response on one questionnaire. Meaning that you have a number of columns here which represents the different questions that he/she has answered. For instance, you have one column first here that is the military grade, the age in categories, the gender, what type of tjeneste, I don't know what to, we have one. What type of service was performed? Was he in active service as a soldier? Was he in an administrative position? Was he dealing with logistics only? Or so it's this is categorized. We have categories for how long they were in active service. Yes, I think that's pretty much the first variables, which is all these are obviously, if we are to call them by their type of variable name, what are they? They are independent variables, right? Or maybe control variables. But at least they're not what we are after. This is not the effect. These are things we want to look whether have effects on the data. But we can look at data in another way as well, because each of these columns then have different qualities attached to them. For instance, we can see that the on the first line here we have one category called tjeneste, service, which of course in the questionnaire looked like this. It's more or less it's impossible to read right. So I'll just this is the question, and this is then typically what we call the label that's used here. But it also has some values attached to it. For instance, we can see here that the number one means in operation or as soldiers or something like that. Number two is health. Number three is dealing with IKT data. Four is administration and so on. So we categorize data, but we put them into numbers. Makes it easier when we write commands, for instance, to have them like that. But of course, this is typically then a variable that is, what would you call this one, as data type? It's a nominal variable. It can't be ranked, right? You can't say that one is better or four is better than one here or more or anything like that. So it's purely nominal data. Well, there are other types of data here that's more like scale data that we will get back to, because there are a number then of questions that are different. For instance, you have these questions here that from 1 to 10 here, that are questions that has to do with symptoms. In a questionnaire, well, people are, you get the question, I do this in Norwegian, and anspenthet I kroppen. Svar ut fra hvordan du har hatt det siste uke. How was last week? Did I experience this? How often did I experience this? Was it never? And then it gets the score 1. Or was it often? Then it gets the score 7. 1 to 7 here. Is that, what would you call these types of categories then? Yeah, they're typically ordinal. They're not scale values, because they start at 1 and they end at 7. And we don't necessarily know that 3 is half the way to 7. So there can be different intervals here. But it's ordinal. But typically, based on ordinal scales like this, we tend to make real scales ratio data. And that can be done by adding up all these symptoms. So here we have 10 different types of symptoms, and that is then something we can use to calculate a new number, that is the total symptoms reported for each person here. And we can do that right away. What I can do then is that I can transform, I can compute a new variable. Try to move it over here. I can compute a variable that I call symptoms. That is the sum of it remembered what I tried some of these before the lecture, so that's why it had data in them. So it's this one to this one, I think. So And what I do now is that I just make a sum of all these 10 questions, meaning that for each person you would get a score from 7 to something. 7 meaning that they answer 1 on all of them. So the lowest score possible here is 1, that is 7, and the highest will then be 7 times 10, so 70. I don't think we will see that, because then it will be pretty wrecked, I think. But we can do that. And then we can look at this new variable, because what it has done now is that it has created this new variable down here, which is called symptoms. It has some qualities to it. It's called a scale variable, for instance. It doesn't need to have two places, decimal places. Like that. If we were to look at that as the data view, then it would look like it's this one. So you see different scores here. Aren't these numbers too high? I'm not sure. This doesn't seem right. Because we were expecting scores from 7 and up here, right? No, from 10 and up. And then 7 by... So... I think I'll have to redo this to see where we did something wrong here. Transform, compute... Seems like it's the right one, isn't it? Strange. Just take a look at the variable first. Yeah, so it goes from 1 to 7. It's just... It shouldn't look like that. I can just take a look at it and see how it... what it looks like. What we can do then is to do a frequency analysis. And look at the... new variable that we made. We can even try to make a histogram there and see the distribution. Yeah, this is more like it. So what we see here is a very strange curve for this type of data. We see that most people here have no symptoms. So I will continue using this variable, although it isn't a normally distributed phenomena that we are dealing with here. So it violates one of the assumptions that we need to, that is used for some inferential statistics. So maybe it would be more correct here to remove some of this data or something like that. But again, what we see is a phenomena that has a lower limit, but that where the extremes seems to be very well distributed in this histogram. So Most people have no or very few symptoms, while some have quite a lot of them. Didn't we calculate that 70 was the maximum score here? 7 by 10. Okay, so the interesting thing now is, of course, to say who is affected by this? And one possibility, one hypothesis that we may have is that you get more symptoms the longer you've been there, or something like that. Because we have an independent variable here. Let's just make that assumption now. I have an idea that the longer you have been in active service, the more symptoms you would have afterwards. And I can check that by doing by comparing means, for instance, in different groups, because I know that I have a variable here that's called how many months have you been in international operations in total? And that is then in categories. So I put that as an independent variable. And then I'm going to look at whether that variable there is depending on this one, which gives me an output like this. This is a descriptive report based on this. I can see that the mean score for those who have been there in less than 6 months is 15.6, while it raises steadily but just a little bit. The longer you've been out. You see this? So on a descriptive level, you can see that there are more symptoms up here than down here. And this is then calculated using an analysis of variance. And then in this case, we do two things. We either check if there is some kind of a variation between these groups, but we also check whether there is a linear relationship here. Is it so that the higher you score on this variable, the more symptoms you have? And this is, of course, well, the mean score is here, but what we see here is also the standard deviation. So plus minus 8 from this one is the interval where we will find 68% of the observations, right? Because that is what we see by this standard deviation. So if we go back to this table we had here, you can say that plus minus 8 from the mean score is where we'll find most of the observations here. While the difference between the different groups here, of course, is extremely small. But still, it comes out, when we do this analysis of variance, it comes out as highly linear, this relationship, meaning this value here, and even the ANOVA score, comes out as highly statistically significant, even though the difference here is very small. Maybe a bit advanced here, but this is the effect of large numbers. We have 2,500 observations here, and very small differences may come out as statistically significant. Although, if you are to discuss this as whether it is meaningful in the more, if you use significant as meaningful in when it comes to validity, for instance, I would say that this difference seems to be extremely small. And you can also have some statistical measurements on that. We have a measurement of the strengths of the association here, which tells you that that only, I won't go into how this is calculated, but the eta square here tells you that this actually only explains some 4/1000 of the total variation in the population. So it's a very meager, to say it at least, effect here. So this is how we read these things then. In the ANOVA test, an F value is calculated, and based on the number of observations we have, this is something we can look up in a table, but these tools tend to do this for us, and then it calculates the significance value here right away. And the lower this value is, the more significant this is. But in this case, we had a very strange thing, and that is that even though we have a statistically significant phenomena, it's probably not very important. So we need to find something else that explains this variation in a better way. And based on this data, we can actually create such variables. We can make different types of scores here. If we go back to the data sheet, are you able to look at this at all? If not, you can take a look at the recording, because then the screen comes up more prominent. I was looking for a way to zoom into this, but I couldn't find it, so apologies for that. But we have some other measurements here. For instance, we have a number of questions that has to do with the experiences that you had during your operations here. And these groups into, you could say, two categories of experiences. The first five of these has to do with how could you rest? Could you do other things than work when you were there? Had you recovery time between operations, stuff like that? While the last five of these questions has to do with whether you saw dead people or whether you were firing a gun yourself, whether you actually killed someone. So it's a number of these questions, and of course, if we do this, if we calculate two new scores here, one called, for instance, rest, as I've done here, and one called type of stressful experiences, you could say, or violent experiences. I've done that already doing the same calculation as I did in the first case, just calculating a sum score based on the variables in ops 1 to 5 or 6 to 10. We can take a look at those as well, using some, for instance, frequency analysis. Not symptoms now, but maybe this one and this one. Can have this time as bar charts showing percentages. It comes to statistics, I can also choose a number of things there. In this case, I've chosen mean, median, mode values, standard deviation. So you can see the number of choices here is more or less limitless. There are menus below this as well. So I'm not teaching you. I'm not teaching you this. This tool now, but just using it as an example, and that's also what we will do in the with the data you gather in your project. So what we can see here is that this rest variable, there were 2,248 valid observations on each of these two. The mean score for rest here was 17. The mean for stress was 8.5. I don't know how these are. We can look. I think it's a 5-point scale in this case. The median is in both cases a bit lower than the mean, and that is something that indicates that we have some extreme scores on the high side. So the mean is a bit drawn upwards compared to the median value. This is probably something we can see as well when we look at the data here. So if you look at this rest variable, we see a pretty well evenly distributed variable, but where you have some scores that goes far away here. When it comes to stress, well, we have a few observations that's very high on the scale as well. We'll treat this now as categorical data. We could, of course, treat it as a continuous variable, but I'll do this now with a I'll use an ANOVA here. And what I can do then is to, for instance, look whether I can just do another ANOVA using this technique. I'm not looking anymore at symptoms, but I'm looking at how rest and stress as dependent variable, or no, sorry. They were independent, right? And symptoms should still be up here. And when I do that, I can see that if I first look at the rest variable, there is an effect of that, highly significant. You get, it's very linear. These are the actual scores. If your rest score is 5, well, then the mean score of symptoms is 21. So actually, the more rest you have, the more opportunities the rest you have, the lower this score seems to be. It's not completely linear, but the general picture is that this is a linear relationship. It falls with increased opportunities to rest. It's still a pretty low effect. It explains 4% of the variation, but it's highly statistically significant. But again, it has to do with the number of observations. If we only had 30, 40, 50 observations, this would not come out as significant, probably. I haven't calculated that. That can also be calculated. This one is maybe more interesting, and what we see here is that the more stress you were exposed to, at least the general picture, is that the more symptoms you have. So we have better explanations here based on the types of based on the how you can, how much you can rest, how much you could, how much, what experiences you had during your service. That's better explanations than how long you were there, for instance. So this is the way we can try to interpret data here. We could also try to do a t-test here, for instance. We have one independent variable here. We're not actually interested in it. We could do it just to demonstrate something, and that is gender. Are gender, are females more likely to have symptoms than males? Maybe that's our hypothesis. Let's just make that hypothesis. I don't know why, but let's just say it. So my best prediction of an outcome here that I will test is that females are, or this is of course just stupid, females are more likely to show symptoms than males are. And what I can do then is that I can perform a student's t-test to check that. Independent samples t-test, where I test the variable symptoms, for instance, like that one, with gender. Which gives me a large table. And what you can read from this one, well, these are the numbers. Of course, this is highly affected by a strange thing in the data material here, which is that there are only 139 women here and 2,000 men. It's I guess that describes the population quite good, so that's the truth. And this is, of course, a limitation here to this. But we can see that females seems to score a little bit higher than males here. And this difference is it significant? If you look at this number, this is the number you should look at. This is the two-tailed significance test. How would you interpret this? If we apply a 5% level of significance, is it significant then? It's a pretty straightforward answer. It's not. It's yes. Yes, it is, if we apply the 5% criteria. If we apply a 1% criteria, can we then we need to keep the null hypothesis. There is no difference. If we use the 5% criteria here, we say that there is a difference. And we throw away the null hypothesis and keep the experimental hypothesis. So this shows how the chosen significance level actually affects the outcome here. Okay. It also what will be used often when you draw tables here is that it will draw this show us the confidence intervals here around the. I won't graph this now. We'll do this in groups, I think, when it's appropriate. But we could probably draw bar graphs here and have some confidence level curves that shows us quite a bit of an overlap between the two groups we are looking at here. This is not a complete analysis of a data set like this. We will probably do something with this data. We will take away the very low scores, or we would recategorize the scores into not affected, somewhat affected, very highly affected, or like that, something like that, which has to do with the diagnosis criteria for post-traumatic stress disorders. And we would also try to do combinations here. And we have another axis that I haven't done anything with here that has to do with your personality. How do you usually cope with things? How do you usually cope with stress? And we find here that people that tend to avoid dealing with stressful situation, people that tend to suppress it are more likely to have symptoms, and that is the biggest explanatory factor that we can come out with here. It actually explains more than 45% of the total variation. So having a personality style is more important than your experiences. That was the conclusion based on this data set. But at least it should give you a little bit of an impression of what we can do with data and how data should be structured and what we can do with it and how we read these tables. What you can see is done first here, for instance, is that we test one of the assumptions. We assume that the two populations, females and males, have the same characteristics when it comes to variance. Do they have an even distribution, or are they very different? In this case, they meet the criteria for having even distributions. If this wasn't the case, well, then we would have to assume they weren't. Then we would have to use another calculation that compensates for this. And then we would have to read this number, which shows us that there is no significant variation in this case. So these tables may be complicated to look at, but there are a number of important things. Of course, it's the calculated value, it's the descriptives. The standard deviation is something we can find here. I may give you an example of such a table and ask some questions from it on the exam, but I will give you that in advance so you can look at an example of a table like this. Good. I think that's as far as we got today. Many details. I hope you got something out of the last session here. It was somewhat experimental doing live data analysis. But hopefully at least you got an idea about what these tables look like and how data analysis may look like. But what we have to do now is that we have to divide you into groups, or you have to divide you into groups for the project. One more thing before we do that. There will be a lecture next week as well. I will give a short lecture. I will only use an hour or so. We'll talk about ethics and stuff like that. Because it's an important aspect. It's not only plagiarism that has to do with ethics. It's also how you treat people. And I will give a short lecture on that next week. So it will get on Fronter, that part as well. But back to the project. What you will have to do now is that you will have to divide yourself into groups. I have a couple of sheets up here where you can write your names down. I would like you to organize yourself into groups. I may help those of you who can't find a group, of course. What I also want to do is that if possible, I would like to talk to all groups today or tomorrow, so that you get a start on this project. And what we will do when we talk, it's only going to be a short meeting. I will explain to you what type of data I expect you to gather. We will discuss the question that you're going to ask, or the topic that you're going to do research on. And we will discuss methodological issues for how to get to data that we can analyze within the very limited time frame we have here. So data needs to be, again, analyzed with me by the end of the month, approximately, so that you can present it before the exam, group-wise. But it's not going to be a delivery. You're going to make a presentation out of what you do here. So you're going to gather data that we are going to analyze together group-wise, and that is going to result in a presentation, only a 5-6 slide presentation maybe, that says something about the question that you were asking about the method that you applied and the results that came out of this. So that's the expectations. But I need to have at least two meetings with each group. One is to discuss the project, and one is to analyze the data. So I hope that I can meet most groups the first 2 days. For the off-campus students, it may be some of you are off-campus students as well, or that are part-time students and here just for the day. There is a special project for you. You're going to gather data on a questionnaire, put it into a sheet, and we're going to analyze this together. Information on that, descriptions of the project, and the necessary data files that you need for performing that project is on Fronter now. So that's an alternative for off-campus students. But it's more fun to do a research project here. Okay, thanks.